a very good evening out there, and thanks for tuning into Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry, coming live from our studio here in Tralee on this bank holiday Monday evening with myself, Donal Barry. I'm going to be joined for a 2-hour special, if you can handle it, on the Senior Football Championship with John Kennedy, Liam Broston and Andrew Moynihan. And the lads are going to pick their Terrace Talk team of the Football Championship in the second hour, along with their pick as well for the Senior Football Championship Player of the Year. And you can get along with that as well this evening, because I just put it up on Twitter. You can go on to Terrace Talk Twitter handle, or is it X now, I suppose. We better get into the right generation, I suppose. And there's four choices there, and you can vote for your choice, but the boys will pick their one anyway. So plenty of views out there already on what went right and wrong, I suppose, for all the various teams over the weekend. Big congratulations, of course, to Dr. Crokes and Fieries, and we'll be checking in with both of those teams as well. And if you get your views and comments to us, you can 066 712 3666, or you can WhatsApp us or text us as well on 083 300 3300, and both Keane and Ivan are ready and togged for the throw in as well. So it is Dr. Crokes who received the Bishop Moynihan Cup, the claim title number 14, and that pushes them, of course, out on top of the pile in the competition that has been won, believe it or not, by at least 22 different teams across the county. And of course, the late Bishop Dennis Moynihan, of course, was a Rathmore man, and he studied, of course, at St. Brendan's College, and I'm sure most, if not all, of the current Crokes winning team played yesterday were in the sim at some stage as well. And what about the heartbreak for Dingle, I suppose, who over the course of the year won so many new admirers, particularly, I suppose, with their style of play, but it came all unstuck in Ossensack Park yesterday in, I suppose, that goal surge where, I suppose, Crokes hit the 3 goals midway through the second half, probably being the most decisive of all. And of course, a big massive weekend as well for Fieries, who claimed the Premier Junior title with an extra time win over Ardfert, and we'll chat about that as well in the show. And a big congratulations as well to Clonmorris. They were in with us there last week. They won their Munster Intermediate Club semi-final as well, big win over Moneygall, and they're in the final against Cork opposition. But Liam Broston,
yes,
as a fully paid up member of the Dr. Crokes Petrochet Appreciation Club, was that the worst Dr. Crokes played for 42 minutes to win the county championship?
Well, I suppose it was the first half an hour anyway, but even we were all getting worried at half time, because Dingle were, you know, they were on a high, and the conditions were kind of suiting them as well. Everything that Crokes were trying wasn't coming off, but typical Crokes, they never give up, they never go deviate away from their style of play, and at the end of the day they got their rewards. But I suppose both games the weekend, both finals, they were kind of games of two halves, really, aren't they? You know, Ardfert were so far ahead in the first half in the first game, and then you had Dingle. But it just shows that if you have a good squad, and I think that's what really showed out this weekend, that both teams that won the weekend, it's a squad game.
Mm-hmm. You need a bench boost, I suppose, at some stage. Come here, John, we'll drill into the whole game over the course of the first hour, but Dingle done so much right.
Yeah.
And it was just, I suppose, as I said, referenced those couple of minutes. Or was it a lot more than those couple of minutes? Maybe people are maybe just saying, oh, Cross got 3 goals in 5 or 6 minutes and bang, that was it. But was there a little bit more to it, maybe?
Yeah, look, Dingle, they'll be very disappointed. You know, they did a lot, the first half in particular, they were very impressive. Crokes couldn't get on the ball, and when they did, you know, they had untypical. They had a few bad wides, a couple into the goalie. But it's, you know, we've said about the Crokes, with or against the wind, they're natural footballers. On the Dingle side, full back gone off, huge loss.
Mm-hmm.
Conor Sullivan.
He's been totally luckless, to be fair.
He was doing very well inside in David Shaw, contesting everything. We knew he was in trouble, Liam. We were together at it. Like, when he got a bang and down he went, and it was over.
And he soldiered on for a couple of minutes after that.
He had the hands up in the head, he was gone. And the other thing, that you'd maybe it was an injury or a knock or whatever, but Darragh Sullivan going from centre-back, I think it had a huge impact in the game. That centre seemed to open up afterwards. No, Crokes were coming into the game anyway. But look, what can you say about Crokes? And we'll go into more detail later on. The experience, the bench. But, you know, the selection of shots they took, the options, the vision on the ball. And, you know, that reading in one of the papers today, like one of, I think it was maybe it was the goalie, I'm not sure, someone of them anyway, but there was no panic at half time.
Mm-hmm.
It was about getting back to doing what we do. and keeping the composure and playing the football, and the hurt that was mentioned a few times, you know, waiting for the Bishop Meinhin to go back to Lewis Road for a long time for Crokes.
Yeah, six years, a long time.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, and in spite of the three goals, you know, Dingle had one or two chances. Shane Murphy, and Shane Murphy made a great save from Tom Leo at the expense of a 45 in between the second and third goals Crokes got. So it was there, but Crokes would that bit better.
But even in the first half, John, Dingle had chances where they tapped over the bar.
Yeah.
Punched over the bar. The difference between Crokes that I usually don't know, and I've played against them for years, is that when Crokes smell a goal, they go for goal. Mm-hmm. And there's no, even if they don't get it, there's no giving out, no nothing. Like Evan Looney yesterday had one thing, and he said if that was 90% of modern day footballers, they were punching that over the bar. But he went for goal. And Dingle had them chances in the first half. No, Tom Sullivan punched one over the bar, they were gone through. They opened Crokes maybe two to three times that they could have goal opportunities.
One short and those came off the post.
On the big day, you need to get a couple of them.
You have to be ruthless.
You have to be ruthless. And I think just Crokes' experience, guile, and that's the way they're playing it since they're 6 years of age. And it's credit to Crokes.
Credit to Crokes, huh?
Yeah, it's just the style of play. And if you ask anyone that plays against them, and even in my era, they're the exact same way.
Yeah.
Like we were.
I think the most impressive thing was John said they didn't panic. Yeah. I mean, the plan didn't change. And yet, as bad as people perceived them to be playing, it was still only 3 points at half-time.
We were speaking at half-time, Liam and Ambrose and Tim and myself were speaking, and like, Crokes, wind conditions, it doesn't matter. They're so comfortable on the ball. Like,
well, the style of football doesn't need wind advantage.
They're not going to kick big high balls. I think Michal Burnham's interview proved that. He said, even though things were not going their way, they didn't want to be kicking lumping high balls in or anything. It's not their style. So wind or no wind makes no difference.
Yeah. You were on one side of the field. Andrew, you were on the other side of the field. Much better press box.
Yeah,
from your side of the field.
Yeah, some terrible company in Donalberry beside me. But what a mighty win for Crokes. The treble's complete: county league, club championship, and now the county championship. Just one loss all year.
Would that have been on their mind yesterday? I mean, would that have been the team talk at some stage? Because had they lost yesterday, there was no trip to Munster.
Yeah, that's it. And they put so much emphasis, I was talking to Tony Rosten and after, they put so much emphasis on the Bishop Meinhin Cup, and they proved that yesterday. They never said die, and they came back into that game and made sure that they won it. I think what Pat O'Shea has done has been nothing short of mesmeric. What he has turned around for Crokes in just a year. They looked a bit down and out this time last year, and here they are. They've done the treble this year, and the Bishop Meinhin is back in Lewis Road. I suppose Dingle will be wondering how they lost that game after doing so much right, but that is just a huge credit to Crokes, how they manoeuvred that game, and they were just so deadly in the third and fourth quarter of that game. I think it was just chaotic yet horrifying for Dingle. It was a complete nightmare for them how that game panned out in the end, but as for Crokes, it was pure euphoria.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Right, well, I suppose it's your job to find out how Crokes walked with it in the end. The game started, Liam, there was a huge atmosphere at the game yesterday. I mean, it felt, maybe with no disrespect to district boards and the whole lot, but two club teams in the county championship final, you know, there was a big crowd, there was a huge crowd of neutrals there as well. And there was a real buzz and a feeling of not really knowing who was going to win it.
A bit of bite. You know, you could feel there was a bit of bite there. And I suppose conditions were one going to be inducive to great football. And to be fair, both teams came out and they gave it their all. But Dingle came out and they were laying down a marker. You could see from the word go. Defensively, they set up structurally as well. You know, Crokes found it very hard to break down.
Their tackling was immense.
They turned Crokes over.
Time and time and time again, they were able to win that dirty ball. But they had another player in support to head away with it as well.
They had, and they forced Crokes into taking kicks that usually you don't see Crokes taking. They're not from 50 yards out, out of that area, instead of, it's usually the dink ball inside, but Dingle had all that cut out. But I suppose the two main scores for me that really kept Crokes in it was Gavin White's two points. No, they were struggling to get
two big scores,
anyone on the ball in a scoring position, and he popped up just to keep the scoreboard taking over, and I think that was huge. But getting back to the point I made earlier, Dingle were breaking Crokes down, but they weren't punishing them the way they should be punishing them. No, they were happy enough to maybe to tap the ball over the bar, whereas if that extra pass or that extra solo and you're in line with one-on-one with the goalkeeper. No, I thought Dingle, if they got a goal at that stage, it would have really rattled Crokes. So they kept Crokes in the game, really, John.
They did, yeah. And do you know, like, if you were told before that you only get one score from play from your six forwards and Crokes in the first half,
Yeah. You'd
be scratching your head, like, you know, but Dingle did, you know, they sat down, they had their matchups, Tom Sullivan and Tony Brosnan, Tom Leo and Burns, and they put Matthew Flaherty, he started on Brian Looney, and you know, they were very effective, and they were in control, they came out of the blocks, but like Liam said earlier, there was a few half goal chances, they didn't go for them, they put them over the bar, they had a few misses as well, do you know, Paul Gainey had one coming in from the stand side, looked to be an easy score to get, kicked with his left, went across, and you know, in the bigger picture, they were in control,
mm-hmm.
But every one of those scores, you know, you needed a good lead going in against Crokes. Like Liam said, Gavin White's 2 points were inspirational, they kept them in it, you know, David Shaw kicked one from play as well. And Brian Looney did an awful lot of covering back. They stayed in the game. That's what they did, really. And, you know, they'd have been happy going into half-time, because I'd say if they looked at it, the monopoly of the position was with Dingle, but yet there was only 2 points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big psychological thing.
Yeah. Liam, we talked about the three goals, and that's what everybody takes away from it. But Crokes hit 3 points in that first half in a row. And two of them were Gavin White's points, mm-hmm. either side of. Mm-hmm. They were possibly the most crucial scores of the
whole game. They were the crucial, because like I said, they were really struggling to get into a position to kick a score.
Mm-hmm.
Because fair play to Dingle, they had set up, they had their man, they had their marking done, but Gavin White, and that's the one thing with good teams, I suppose, and especially Crokes. Now, Tony Brosnan never scored yesterday, but if you said that last week, we'd be kind of saying, Jesus, Crokes will be under pressure. Mm-hmm. But there's always somebody else to step up. Yeah. Like Gavin White kicked 2 points yesterday. I haven't seen Gavin White kick points like that in a long time. I might be wrong,
yeah.
But I have not seen him kick points from that distance. No, so that's a sign of a very good team when you have players that can step up to the mark. And you know, when fellas, when things aren't going right for other fellas, that you've players like that, and they were two huge points.
Mm-hmm. We get to half time. Dingle possibly, obviously, the happier boat. Crokes, I suppose, maybe under pressure from the crowd more than anything else, because they expect a bit more. But I don't think Pat O'Shea was under pressure at half-time, Andrew, was he?
No. Like, Dingle's plan was working. They weren't letting Crokes play the game in their own terms, and that's what we've become so accustomed to in this championship. But at the same time, Crokes would be happy to be just 2 points down at the interval. Dingle had plenty of chances to extend their lead, as you say. But I suppose in that second half, just looking through it here, Dingle had a goal chance early on from Tom Leo. It was blocked by Shane Murphy. That could have been a game changer for that game. But then 6 minutes won Crokes the county championship. In the 42nd minute, Crokes got their first goal from David Shaw. It was, to be honest, it was completely against the run of play. Kieran O'Leary's point effort dropping short, and Gavin O'Shea's beautiful flick up to David Shaw after stealing the ball, and he finished into the back of the net.
It was an awful mess of a beautiful goal, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, there was so much disaster, but yet there was so much beautiful about it. And of course, Gavin's little flick in between and Shaw being there. And Kieran Lear played his part, because obviously he kind of ran in, and I suppose he didn't know the ball was going to bounce off his legs at all, but he clipped off his legs, came back to Gavin, quick thinking, ball back at the net. But that's what Crokes are renowned for.
Yeah, the veterans show up on the big day, and Kieran O'Leary did that yesterday off the bench. It was Keane McMahon, pointed effort that deflected, and he pounced on the ball and he punished Dingle with another goal. It was hard to believe what I was seeing, really. And then 4 minutes later, when you're even the young guns like Evan Looney, he put the icing on the cake and the nail in the coffin, whatever you want to call it. A beautiful individual run through the middle.
Let's break down the goals, John. The first goal goes in. It's kind of against the run of play for what Dingle have done, but it was coming because Crokes were getting more on it. The move of moving Michal Burns, particularly after half-time, close to the goal and moving Keane McMahon out, it looked like a Pat O'Shea move, you know, and like you said, it kind of created something different for them. But the goal, even at that stage, you wouldn't be too upset. Dingle conceded the goal. You wouldn't see the second goal coming, would you?
No, and Dingle reacted well, went up the field and Barry Dan kicked a point,
Yeah. You
know, got them up again. But look, It shows about the mentality of the Crokes. Kieran Leary had a bad word by his own standards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another player will drop his head, but no. Experience and the confidence in their own ability. And that's crucial. I think there's an example for young fellas that if you miss, you go again. And that's the thing about those guys. He went again. And, you know, as Andrew said there, Keane McMahon's shot dropped and Kieran Leary was there. And you don't give him, he's a goal poacher, like he's around long enough. You don't give him that kind of a chance.
He's 37 years old. He outfielded his defenders, you know. I mean, you know, it was probably hardly more crucial ball that he caught inside in the square. And you know,
crucial.
And even after that, Gavin Corn, you know, half blocked it.
Yeah.
Tom Leo just didn't get back in time. Again, a kind of a dirty old goal, but again,
got in
3 points and the whole lot. The moves early on by Pat O'Shea, we were talking about, I suppose, the movement of position, but he brought on Kieran Leary, he brought on Potts.
That's massive.
5 minutes in the second half, he really was setting the tone of where this game was going.
He was, and I think Michael Potts, I know Kieran O'Leary, we get all the plaudits, but Potts, I don't know, if
he
and he attacked.
Yeah.
He went down the middle, and that's where we say where Darragh Sullivan was probably a loss. There was a space there, and in fairness, Mike Potts didn't make hay with that. No, he caused trouble. But that's getting back to Crokes again. I was just watching the movement. You know, I just told Johnny earlier, when Crokes went up the 3 points, I was watching Pat Shea, and the first thing he did was he said something to Tony Braston. Don't know what he said, but next thing Tony stood inside the corner, took Tom Sullivan out of the play completely. You know, that's just smarts. You know, whether it was Tony that decided it or was Pat. But they kept Tony underneath the shade above, and Tom Sullivan stayed with him. So that stopped Dingle's, one of main attackers up the field, standing above on the 14-yard line. No small little things like that. Evan Looney's goal, I watched it again today and I saw a clip of it. You know, Potts was actually ahead of him, but Looney never passed it. But a normal player would probably stand.
Mm-hmm.
But Potts, if anyone sees that now and just watch it, and he was running in front of him and he was waiting for the pass, but he knew he wasn't going to get it. Yeah. And next thing he just cleared out of the way and it opened up in front of Evan. That's when Evan went in.
He still had an awful lot of work to do. He had to cut across Gainey, he had to cut across another, and he had to finish the net as well.
But I think Andrew's dead right. I think that's being coached out of players. How many times, even at county level, do we see players punching the ball over the bar? It's nearly one I'd nearly get rid of. It's a pity for me.
Yeah. No, we're talking about the forwards. The next vital thing in the whole game was Shane Murphy's save. Dingle, they're on the back track. They've conceded the goals. You know, they have to go for goal now. Tom Leo, you know, it's the one that's put out for the 45. Yeah. So close, but just...
Yeah. It's not... Look, it... I don't know, someone of them in the interview after yesterday evening again, maybe it was Michal Burns, you need a bit of luck. And Crokes got it. They got it with Keane McMahon's shot. Mm-hmm. You could say it was a great goal, but there's a certain amount of luck. Had that gone over the bar, it might be a different story. And had Kieran Leary not won it. But, you know, Shane Murphy made that stop look easy. But it was a rasper for Tom Leo.
And with the conditions as well,
The conditions, greasy ball, rasper. And then, you know, the double whammy for a Dingle point of view, the 45 went off the post
and went wide.
Did
it go wide?
Well,
from where I was standing, it looked like some Crokes would have poked it out. But people were saying afterwards that it spun in such a direction and hopped out. But there was certainly a small bit of a debate about it,
was there? There was a bit of a debate about it, all right, yeah.
And the Crokes have two fellas back there, John Payne and Fionn Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
These guys are just... The longevity that these boys have is just unreal. And they were two main instigators again as well yesterday for him.
I agree with Liam. There mightn't be much written about Fionn Fitzgerald today. Yeah. He mightn't be named as one of the top three or four in the game, but his work rate yesterday and the way he closed down options off the ball and on the ball, incredible.
He didn't make an attacking run until they were ahead they were ahead by a couple of points, and then at that stage his attacking run was
crucified. That's what Crokes did when they went ahead. Dingle had to come and play a small bit, and it created a bit of space for David Shaw and even Kieran O'Leary inside. And when Kieran O'Leary came on, I just thought he won a lot of dirty ball.
Mm-hmm.
So now, ball that Crokes were kicking in and they were spilling a small bit, whereas Kieran's, I suppose, his low centre of gravity, his strength, he was winning that hard ball the whole time, and he was able to give that quick pass.
Fair enough. Well, listen, guys, we have plenty of comments coming in. 0667123666 or WhatsApp 083-300-3300, and we'll go through them after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Donal, congratulations on a great achievement. What a turnabout in a few short months. Petr Shea is the greatest club manager around. Fabulous achievement by Dr. Crokes. A great game to watch as well. Congrats to all in Killarney. Congratulations to Dr. Crokes. Great win. Playing so poorly. A real sign of champions. I don't know if that's a plus or a minus, but we'll take on the plus side anyway. Gene Duffy. Excuse me, all the way from Crossmaglen Rangers. Congratulations to Dr. Crokes, G, on a great victory yesterday from Gene Duffy, all the way from Crossmaglen Rangers. Must be something in the colours, because Liam Rosson loves that colour as well. congratulations to all the team and management. They've restored the pride in Killarney football. That's another listener. Well done to Dr. Crokes, and best of luck in a very tough opener against Castlehaven in 2 weeks' time, and there certainly will be a tough opener. And the final one there for now is up the Crokes. The boys are back. And on the Dingle side, Donald, Dingle lacked power and urgency down the spinal cord. Also to see Brian Looney outpace three Dingle players early in the second half. That led to a great point by Micheál Burns. Not good enough. Looney, 38 years of age. Well, we might be giving him an extra one there. And that's from a Dingle listener back in West Kerry. John, when the game was over yesterday, we stayed around and we were watching the Croke celebration. It's something that every club needs to appreciate, and you know, there's friends and there's families, and you know, it was great excitement, and those fellas who played in the past, I suppose, I saw Connie Murphy come off the field as well, getting loads of congratulations. But you walk around the corner then back to your car and you see all the Dingle players coming out of the dressing room one by one. It's a lonely old spot when you lose a county final.
Oh, it is, don't lose any final. We've been there. In the, you know, every player will have a good day and good days, but you'll have the bad days. And
probably more bad days than good days.
Very disappointing. You know, they give so much to it all the year. You know, Dingle and they came through the injury crisis. They came through maybe a drop in form, and they got back into county final. But look, they came up. We've said it for the last number of weeks here. We said it last year when we had Pat O'Shea was coming back, and you know it's not been smart after. But Pat O'Shea is one of the best coaches in the country. There's no doubt about it. First of all, I suppose the Crokes. You look at them; they're so passionate and they're so proud of their club. You know, every one of the older players.
What's that built on? How can you replicate? Is that success? Is that simply getting the whole thing right from the bottom up and going through it? Is it Owen Brosson as chairman? Is he a good chairman? Looks after
good
everything.
Good point. And I think you look at it. You look at all the lads that have played, that have been involved over the last 10 or 12 years, mm-hmm. coming in as selectors. Look at the selectors, Pat had. Mm-hmm. You know,
look
Luke
at the management
Quinn.
Teams before us.
Yes, look at the management. Look, Luke Quinn and Andrew. Yeah, you know, Dennis Coleman, fair enough. Yeah. But the lads were there before. You know, they're passing on the baton, but you have the maestro involved, like. And I was watching them yesterday. We were together, Liam. We were looking down, like, and, you know, a lot of managements will be punching the air and stuff when you go 4 or 5 points up. They wouldn't have any of that.
Still organising.
They were very ice cold, aren't they?
Ice cold. They were organising. And I saw it, I think, when there was, I'd say, about 30 seconds left, he punched the air as much as say, we have it now. And it's an example to people. But look, we're all involved with clubs. But the pride that they have, it's frightening. Mm-hmm. You know,
every club would love to have
every. I know Vince Cooper very well, and when you talk to Vince, the fire is coming out of his eyes when he talks to you about Dr. Crokes, and they're not shy about it. And you know, but they've got the success, but they have the structures in place and the system they play, the skill set they have. And when you come into a battle like yesterday in the second half, when you need to play and you need to up it, you go back to the basics, and that skill and that vision on the ball, what comes from working Lewis Road, it came through yesterday. Mm-hmm. And like, Dingle were unfortunate that they came up against a very good Dr. Crokes team, even though they didn't play to their potential in the first half.
And like, if you look at the Crokes team, a lot of those guys have worn the Kerry jersey at some level. Now, so the ingredients is there. But I would agree with John that it's the club ethos that they have. You know, listening to interviews, the ladies were up there cooking Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So you go back to Curragh Tuesday night training, you won't have.
You see that?
And I'm sure Ashley is the same. Like, but that's what makes them. You know, that's what makes the Crokes what they are. It's a kind of a family thing, and you'd see the different things they hold and everything. Like, it's just. And I suppose, look, they are a small club when you look at it. You know, supporters wise, players wise, like, they haven't got a big parish or anything like that they're pulling from. But the fellas that are involved, you know, when you go, I've seen them at underage above, because I was doing umpire for a few games, and you go in during the day, and next thing you see the coach coming out, you know, you see all Dahi Casey, all these fellas that are coaching underage. they're underage. And that's going on through the years. Connie Murphy was involved, like, I remember, I don't know, all these players. They all chip into the club. So, and it just makes for something special then. And if other clubs could do it, I think the Crokes has the recipe if everyone can get at it.
Yeah, I got a text in earlier today. I can't find it, but the idea of it anyway was that it's all Cordell's fault that they lost yesterday, because Cordell won the under 15s beating.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Dr. Crokes early in the morning, of course,
and made him sour.
The Cordell fellas are claiming credit for it. We'll see how that works. Andrew, final takeaways from the Cowan Championship final.
From the final itself, I suppose, just game management for Crokes, really. They, as the lad said, they never gave up, they never panicked, and that second half proved dividends for them. And once they had their goals, as I said, it was chaotic euphoria for Crokes, really. And once they got them, it was all about the game management again, and who better than the Crokes to finish that.
Mm. And you spoke to Tony Brosnan after the game, quickly after the game, and of course, I suppose fellas are writing this morning about it, Tony Brosnan didn't score, and Tony, but he played his part, obviously, hugely well as well. What was his thoughts after the game?
I won't say disbelief, but a sense, I suppose, maybe that they finally done it, I suppose, 6 years. A big, seemed relieved as well. I mean, as you said, it's a famine for Crokes, 6 years for a Cowan. And I think pride was really what he felt after the game, really, that he is part of a county championship winning team for Crokes. And just, no one can take that away from them anymore. And now they go on to represent Kerry and Munster. So I think excitement as well. He was just buzzing after the game, and he just continued to make reference to the work that Pat O'Shea has done over the last year. What a man, is what he said to me, really, that Pat O'Shea is just, he's just glorified inside in Crokes, and that the work he has done with him over the last year. And like, I'd be friendly enough with a couple of Crokes lads, and just speaking to them over the last year, they're just buzzing anytime they speak of him and the work that he puts in. Just a brilliant coach, and they just seem reinvigorated, and they've invented themselves all over again this year. And Tony seemed that to himself. He had a great year with Kerry, which helped as well. And maybe the form from Kerry obviously transferred to Crokes then, and or maybe it came from Crokes too. The backing from Pat O'Shea at the start of the year, and yeah, he just seemed delighted. And as for the Crokes, yeah, it deserved it in the end, come championship winners, because they've been the team all year, haven't they?
John Kennedy, Jack O'Connor, of course, in the attendance yesterday, along with a lot of new coaches and selectors and the whole lot, and everybody asking nearly the same question that Jack O'Connor probably has to ask himself in front of the mirror every night: can I find a few players out of here? Because at the end of the day, Kieran Leary, Brian Looney, Dahi Casey, I don't think they'll be making themselves available for the Kerry team. So when you look at it on that side,
yep,
for the Kerry, you're looking at Gavin White, looking at Tony Brosnan. Is there another one or two there?
We were speaking about it for the last number of months, you know, looking at it with through the glasses that a Kerry selector might look through. What could you bring in?
Hmm.
We're not saying they're going to make it. I suppose Mark O'Shea will be brought in.
Evan Looney, you always have to
look at him. David Shaw.
Yeah.
You know, he'd
playing good football.
Playing good football. Now, will they make it? Maybe not. But you have to bring him in and look at him. And they would be the three, I'd say, out of the Crokes 18 or 19 yesterday.
Will Michal Burns go back in?
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
Is there a place for them, though, back in? I mean, do certain players, can they only play that well for their club and not transfer that into a county setup where they're going to be asked to do something different? I mean, Pat O'Shea obviously knows the Crokes boys from day dot. He knows what they're capable of. He's seen them from 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He knows what positions they can play better than others. And he possibly doesn't ask them to do things that they can't do. But when you jump across and put on a Kerry jersey, you're going to be asked things that you're not comfortable with, you haven't done before. Can those players adapt maybe to that?
Yeah, I think when I'm looking at a player, that's what I look at. Can a player have the ability? You're looking at everything: vision, strength, power, kicking, all that. And I think the likes of Mark O'Shea and Evan Looney have that. They're two guys that now they might make it in the first year, but if they get the chance for a year or two to be in there playing a couple of National League games, bit of experience, they are going to be vital for Kerry, because they have, you could see it in them, they have the footballers. And I do agree with her, they have been Crokes footballers down through the years that we have seen, and when it comes to Kerry, they, would they fit into a system with their club? Mm-hmm. But I do think the players that we're talking about there, they can bring something to Kerry setup.
And as well as that, Donal, I think like through our all playing careers, Liam and myself, we have seen very good club players. Yep. But when they go into county setup, mm-hmm. big step up, they just don't measure up. And that can happen too, but it doesn't mean that you're playing well with your club that you're going to walk on. No, sometimes some of the players that don't shine are brought in.
Yeah,
they can do it. So there's no hard and fast rule about it. But I think with a new management team in Kerry at the moment, it's an ideal opportunity for these guys. I'd say it is an open book.
Shake it up. And in terms of Crokes, I mean, the confidence that they'd have taken from the last year, the lads not involved in the inter-county setup. I mean, just one loss all year. To take that confidence to inter-county, I think that can definitely help them if they get involved with Kerry next year.
Mm-hmm. And that loss, of course, the Dingle, ironically enough, I mean, 19 wins, one loss. Best player in the field for me yesterday was Dylan Ganey. Kicked 5 points from play in horrific conditions, from literally all over the field. They needed possibly maybe a little bit more, obviously, but I mean, his performance in Cowan Championship has been huge.
He's had a great year. And I think we spoke about it, Liam and myself. He has brought what he got inside with Kerry, the experience playing against better players, being marked by some of the best defenders in the country. His game has come on big time. He's kicking with confidence.
Confidence.
You know, he's going for it. I like it. He went for shots yesterday, and that's what you want in a forward. Yep. He's not afraid to go for it. And, you know, 5 points in a county final on a beaten team, he didn't let them down.
And he did the same against East Kerry. He kicked some fantastic scores against East Kerry.
When they were needed. And then all of a sudden, we have the new rules coming in the 1st of January. Obviously, coaches are going to be looking at them. There's three being thrown out now. Obviously, we won't get 2 points for a 45 and a different colour flag. Kind of ironic, really, that we went for the orange flag. Throw out the red flag, got an orange flag. We'll have all the flags be putting up an Armagh flag. But then again, I suppose the president is Armagh, I suppose, so the list was short on it. But the new rules, they're going to suit the likes of particularly the Killian Spillanes that we can see they can score, the Dylan Ganeys. Are the Kerry selectors looking at a different style of footballer, different type of footballer, whereas up to now they were looking for a corner forward who could run all the way down to the corner back area. Now you have three up, and all of a sudden maybe is this new lease of life for an awful lot of talented footballers out there, Liam?
Yeah, and I suppose this new the rule with the three back as well is going to create that little bit more space as well for the kickers. So obviously the game is going to change a bit. There is going to be more space, and I would agree, a guy that can kick from 45, 50 yards out now is a big weapon to have in a team, and if we have three or four of them. And I think it's great because we do have them in Kerry. And I think we're watching the County Championship and we're kicking all these great scores. Dylan Ganey, like, when he goes in with Kerry, is he going to kick them score? You know, is he going to have the confidence, or is he going to be left kick that type of a kick? Yeah. And if he misses, is he going to get a tap in the back, or is he going to kick in the backside? You know, the likes of these players just need to have a bit of free rein. You know, kick kind of go with their ability, and we have that. So that's what I'm looking forward to with the rules this year, because we have the players that can do that.
Mm-hmm. Midfielders, Andrew. It's going to be a serial one. People are going to be looking for midfielders. We mentioned Mark O'Shea. Barry Dan, new lease of life pushed in there, maybe?
I think what I like about Barry Dan is he takes risks. He's able to go for a ball, and he doesn't fear anybody. And I think you need that in a midfielder too. You need a bit of hard nose. Mightn't have had his greatest performance yesterday, but I thought throughout the county championship and the club championship, superb. The amount of times I've seen him with a bandage wrapped around his head at this stage is just surreal. But I think Barry Dan, I think we'll definitely see him future with Kerry again next year, and kind of one of those players that maybe even with the new rules that can maybe feature a small bit. Even for Dingle, he was used as a full forward at times in the county championship this year. They kind of pulled away from that as they got into the latter stages. So if we're on about the three up rule, fire the ball into Barry Dan, see what happens, sort of thing. It's a thing you can test out in National League. So yeah, Barry Dan, definitely one to watch, I suppose, if that's the right way to say it.
He's inside there as well at the moment, of course. It's probably a big enough season for him. Let's talk about No Country for Old Men. Right, seems to be a country for old men. But the performance yesterday of Kieran Leary, I mean, like to win the ball, to score the goal, to end up with 1-1, having played 30 minutes of the whole game. Brian Looney, you know, fantastic all season, probably in contention for, I suppose, player of the season there as well. And then we have Dahi Casey coming on. The wonderful flick by Dahi at the
That's
end.
Right, for the point.
He didn't even bother to catch it. Little flick, yep. Leg, bang. Burns, yeah. Over the bar, smiling her head off.
And if that was 90% of the players again, he yeah. probably would have bent down and picked it up.
Yeah.
And Dingle would have came around him and it would have slowed the whole thing down. But it was just that cuteness.
And there was another time when Dahi was tumbled over fairly tough in the middle of the field, but he didn't want any fella getting a yellow card. Give me the ball.
Get on with it
straight away. And the whole lot. They've been huge, huge servants, I suppose, to Crokes. But when the history of Kerry football is written, these boys now are in a very exclusive club of having won 8.
Is that what they have, 8?
They have 8.
Yeah.
No boys. Who are all the rest of them? Andrew, you can stay up because you're Googling
of the Crokes.
Well, of anybody. Who's got 8?
Oh.
Come on, boys. They were all on the field yesterday, bar 2 of them.
He loves these surprise questions, don't you?
Yeah, kind of challenges. Well, one of them's the chairman.
I was going to say, one of them's Owen Braston.
Okay, and one of them's the greatest corner forward of all time. Well, there you go. I gave you 2.
Yeah.
Go on.
There's definitely a South Kerry fella stuck in it, is there?
No, we know fella 104 years old, still playing football, and bad things all there. No, they're all Crokes.
All Crokes.
What, should you, I mentioned 3 of them there to you.
And you said there's 8 of them?
No, I didn't say there was 8.
How many of them are there?
8 is what they've medals they won. Yeah, lads, come on. They're jumping out of the radio, I thought.
Well, Looney is.
Yes, good man. That's it.
And Dahi Casey, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fionn.
And you have Fionn.
Fionn's debatable, to be fair to him. 7 by my account. I think he went to New Zealand for a year.
Michael Maloney.
No, he wasn't on the field yesterday. Oh, well, do you know what? That'd be debatable enough. He was a sub, wasn't he?
He was a sub, yeah.
Oh, my God, almighty.
Yeah.
Could be a sneaky one, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so he was his wrong soldier. Yeah. So the main man is wrong.
We'll have to check the clocks on that one.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Michael Maloney snuck in there?
John Payne, obviously, has.
John Payne,
yeah.
Well,
John Payne, absolutely. Yeah.
And my point about that, John Payne is kind of forgotten man and all that. Is he forgotten because he's a back?
He probably is, but he's been very effective.
For those who follow football know about John Payne.
John Payne was being a class act. And the one thing that came through, and like a lot of people today I've spoken to, like, is that, you know, when players come to late, we'll say 32, 33 now, oh, it's time to retire. But, you know, you'd smile at there, Mike Maloney, he was with us in the 21s, Lehman. Yeah. And like, they owe nothing to Crokes. Why did he stay involved? The club again.
Yep.
You know, and fair play to him, and it's great to see them. And like, that's, it shows that you need experience, and age is no barrier, you know.
But is it harder for a back to survive? You know, I mean, like, you're a forward, you're coming in, you're coming out, but I mean, a defender has to be on top of his toes at every level and every minute of the game, or otherwise you're going out the back, because you can be a forward, you can have a bad day, you can come back on again. Obviously, Mike Maloney is one of those as well. It's amazing the amount of Crokes knowledge I have got at the thing. Come here, listen, big congratulations to Crokes. I think we'll take a quick break, and after, we'll talk to both their neighbours. They also had a big win, Andrew, did they?
Yeah, a big weekend. The real game of the weekend was the junior premier.
Smile across his face. A grin hasn't come off his face.
Hasn't
since Saturday.
No, since Saturday evening.
The Conyngham Portmore to beat a North Kerry team, is it?
I think that bit more.
We'll talk about fires after the break.
This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now we've asked you out there on Twitter who was the player of the championship. Brian Looney, 40%. Paul Gainey, 30%. Seanie Shea, 15%. And Dylan Gainey, 15%. And he's still got like 3/4 of an hour to vote on that. But Brian Looney on the way to that, I'd say, at the moment. Now, a couple of other quick comments. Congratulations to Grace Lynch, Deneen from Carsevine, coming 3rd in the Irish Ladies category at Dublin City Marathon yesterday. And that's set a personal best as well from all her family and friends. Absolutely. Well done to you, Grace, down there. I like the way they say Grace Lynch from Dooneen and Carsevine. I know it was a file more, I'd say. It's on the file more side, I think. Hi, lads. Credit to Brian Looney for his great game yesterday. Absolutely. Hi, Don. Open to correction, but I think, is this the first time our county champions in both codes are in black and amber? Maybe one for a table quiz. And we're having a look, of course, Abby Dorney helping out the black and amber in 1974. So if you're out there and you can figure out who won the county championship in 1974, be quicker than asking John Kennedy, innit? Because he doesn't remember anything beyond
Kinmare.
Oh, definitely not black and amber. This is very funny. Well, a bit of it is very funny. The comment about Dr. Crokes being a small club has upset a few Killarney people and surrounding clubs. Which one of the three of you said they were a small club? John Kennedy, was it?
Embrushing,
yeah. The Crokes are not SD, no less, okay? They're not Bay Longford and they're not Valinche, okay? They have the pick of Killarney and transfers from other clubs over the years. And another note, need to get referees from Cork or Limerick refereeing these games. Two of the goals were frees, a further out the field not given, and Evan Looney had taken seven steps leading to his goal. Wow, there you go.
Well, I'm glad it's not a Croke supporter near
Hi, Donald. Congratulations, Dr. Croke's deserving champions. Also, I enjoy listening to Liam, John, and Andrew. Both interesting and entertaining. That's from Charles, who is absolutely delighting in the fact that I imagine that Eric Ten Hag has been fired. Come here, Fieries. Congratulations, Andrew.
Thank you, Donald.
You picked Fieries, did you, at the start of the year?
I did. You know, I was very confident. And just,
I thought you picked Ballymore, no?
You know, I was between Fieries and Kiel.
All right.
But it's just, last year, Fieries, they got knocked out in the group stage by the Stoll. They won two games
on scoring difference.
And I came out that day and said, that team is not too far away from winning a club championship. And this year proved dividends. And I'm delighted for them. Great
it
bunch.
Wasn't going too well for them, though, was it?
It really wasn't. I suppose that first half, Brandon Barris, I thought, was a great for Art Firth. He was a real problem. And there's plenty of balls going through him. Fieries had plenty of chances in the first half, but there were plenty of shots dropping short. The conditions were affected. It was like an ice rink on the pitch. And then in the 24th minute, Art Firth got their goal. Ernan Ferris, he cut down the left side. A lovely left boot effort, but he was unfortunately subbed off just before half time, and that was a big loss, to be fair, for Art Firth, because I thought he was playing brilliant. It was a pity really to see him go off, and he got a nice applause coming off the field. In the second half then, Fieries really didn't kick into gear until around the 38th minute. They got their first point since the 20th, but Art Firth were extending their lead meanwhile. They had it up to 5 by the 40th, and Fieries were just missing too many chances. But the comeback began in the fourth quarter. James Horgan, Mike Daly and Stephen Palmer were to the fore. And then the 53rd minute, after being down 5 points just 10 or 12 minutes before, James Horgan levelled it. And you could just sense that there was something happening here, something special. Art Firth, they maintained their position though. Nathan O'Driscoll was keeping in it. I thought he was superb. He just an unbelievable boot on him. But injury time, it was just all about Niall Donoghue. Art Firth went ahead twice, but the wing back, he came up with two huge clutch scores. The second one, we were just speaking about it before the show, just remarkable, and sent the game to extra time, off balance, falling over, and he's still able to send the ball over the bar. Even a superb Colin Walsh outside the boot mark couldn't save Art Firth.
That was a fantastic score.
Brilliant. And it got a great cheer, and I thought that might have been it for them. And
it looked like the winner, didn't it?
It felt like the winner,
Joe. Yeah. Big mark. Kicked it straight away, point scored.
You'd feel for him, because that was an unbelievable score to kick under such pressure, and he backed himself to kick it from the mark. But extra time, I think it was all about Fieries' legs, the impact off the bench as well. Keane Doe, Liam Brosnan, they put in huge shifts. I think Fieries maybe were, overall, I think, like, not being biased, but I think they were the better team in extra time completely. But Nathan O'Driscoll just kept plugging with scores for Art Firth, and he was a right menace for Fieries. Some of the scores he was getting were just unbelievable, and he kicked 2 points in extra time to keep them in the game. But three crucial points for Fieries. The first, I thought, was the most crucial. It was right at the start of extra time. Dara Donoghue came down the field, and he laid down the marker, really, for Fieries in extra time. And they won.
Kind of in control that stage.
Came to show, and Rob Cusson, the strength and conditioning, he's done great work with him over the last year. He just came involved this year. The lads put huge credit to him, and the management too, Seamus O'Connor. There's a great relationship between the players and management, and you need that if you want to be doing anything with the club. And just delighted for him. It's their day. The progress they've made over the last few years to lose the novice final 3 years ago, they won it the following year, and they're an intermediate team in 2025. It's just special days for Fieries.
Yeah, it's a big jump, intermediate. We saw the junior championship last year, and they're still moving up as well. It'll take a while to settle in. But to win the junior championship, Premier Junior Championship, it's a tough ask, John.
Oh, it is a tough ask. And I suppose going back to the two semi-finals, they beat what was a favourite for all of us in Ballymac. Went to penalties. Art Firth went to penalties with St Sinan. So it will tell you how competitive it is, the junior premier. But I felt in the lead up to that, Art Firth would share it. Being honest with you, I felt they had the strength and depth. You know, they know how to win. and they've been there before. But and it looked like that in the first half. But you know, as Andrew said there, look, the injury to Aaron Ferris was a huge blow to Hartford. Having said that, Fieries weren't in the game. You know, apart from Michael Daly in the first half, he had two shots off the post, piping one into the goalie. He was the one guy up front that had the beating of his man. And, you know, but they stayed in there. They just went in a goal down at half time. And I suppose the highlight for me was, you know, Colin Welch's mark. I felt, first of all, the mark where he marked it. It was a bit ambitious, being honest.
Yeah. And he probably thought he was putting it over with a hurl, was it?
Because it was a beautiful strike.
But it was a fabulous score.
But equally, Niall Dunhu, like, you know, fantastic.
Yeah.
And no team deserved to lose it on that. But look, Fieries were much better in the extra time.
Interesting enough, if you're a fellow who likes freaky stats and the whole lot, 42nd minute, Ardfert 1-6, Fieries 4 points. 42nd minute, Dingle 7 points, Crokes 4 points.
Yeah.
Both teams on 4 points after 42nd minute, and both kind of pulled away at their ease.
Yeah. I give credit, and look, we've been on about Pat O'Shea and the management team and everything, but what Seamus O'Connor and Dan and the management team have done, I've seen them now in a good few games this year. Fieries, it's the squad. Right, so to lose Jack Sherwood, number one, for the last couple of weeks is a massive blow for any club. But coming into the game the last day, and they were struggling the second half, and to come through, like Niall O'Donoghue going off injured after kicking two, probably the most, like Andrew said, clutch scores that I've seen inside Aston Stack Park. I think the second one, you were being nice that he slipped. He was cleaned. Because Jesper, he picked up the injury and he had to come off. You know, it was an incredible score against a bit of a breeze as well that's there. Damon O'Mahony had to be replaced. Padraig De Bruyn, their Limerick senior footballer, had to come off. Now, Darragh O'Donoghue had to come off. You're losing guys there, but the fellas that came on, was incredible. So I would give the credit to the management team, to what they built up. They did the same in Cora in the game in Cora as well. They brought on players and made huge impact. Same against Ballymac. But if I was given a junior player of the year, Mike Daly, he was outstanding. Even the last day again.
You're only doing that now because he beat Cora on his own, wasn't
he? He beat Cora himself, and James Horrigan actually were excellent. Yeah. But Mike Daly was always the guy that got the score at the vital time.
And like, he stood up when they were being beaten, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
But you'd have to say as well, two of the players on the Ardfert forward line, Finan Egan and Oran Ferris, they'd been outstanding in the lead up to it. They were nullified.
They were, yeah.
They're two young lads that were really marked. They thought Chris Palmer was outstanding as a man marker. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, Dermot Mahoney, very good going forward. Yeah. You know, but like these guys, Ardfert needed them to score. They were depending a lot on Nathan Driscoll. He had a fantastic game. But, you know, you need more than one. But you have to say, James Horgan, the sharpshooter for Fieries, things not going well for him early on. We spoke about Crokes a while ago. He didn't lose the head, kicked some great scores in what was a fantastic win for Fieries.
Yeah, Keane Doe came on, you know, Dara Brosnan kicked his point. No, it was definitely, if any, down through the years, I've seen teams winning, but the squad that Fieries are after building. Mm. Now, the opposite to Dr. Crokes, Fieries have a big pick, and they have a big village now. And
Dr. Crokes is small club, and Fieries is big club.
I go back to that. No, but it's easy to say that.
It's great to see the small club like Crokes winning.
They have the numbers. Now, Fieries are coming. They're coming with a couple of years underage, very good structure underage. They have a new facility back in the village as well that they started. They're an up and coming club, so it's going to be it'll be interesting to see the path that they'll take intermediate next year. Big step up, but they have the players, they have the youth on their side as well. So it's going to be it's one to watch now. This Fieries venture.
Two huge comments from Fieries. I'm going to read Sean Brewer's one after 7 o'clock. But this is a lovely giving out one. Donal, a massive congrats to Seamus and all in Fieries for their win over Ardfert. It was an incredible achievement and it was a magic moment to be at it. As you can imagine, being a Fieries supporter, small club, you want to lap up the aftermath, particularly in the local media. However, I have to say I'm very disappointed in two local publications who seem to think that Fieries GAA is simply based in Farn 4. I know that you know what I'm talking about, but maybe you might push my point more eloquently. Obviously,
Fires is a lot bigger than Farn Fort. Yeah. Ballyhar, Fires Village.
They have a big area, like, I think they have...
I think his point is that, you know, people are just, you know, Farn Fort and win this.
I think they have an A B and a C team.
Yeah.
No, so that's...
We're just making them huge now.
Well, I'll tell you, Donald, we were out there in Division 5 County League games at the start of the year, and they had a very good team, a squad, quality people involved. But what impressed me, and I said it before, was the dressing room, the entrance. It was a credit to them. And I think it's like going into a house. You learn an awful lot about the people when you see the surroundings. You learn a lot about a club when you see the surroundings. Yeah. Hugely proud of what they have. But I thought the dressing room, one of the best they've been in my career, and I've been in a lot of them. Spotless, flowers in the way, and, you know, a lot of work goes into it, and great credit due to them. And like Liam said, club to watch out for.
Yeah. And they have a manager, I know Seamus, and I know him pretty well. He's a stickler for small things.
Small things,
details, for details. And, you know, so, like I said, this fire is venture isn't over yet.
So what you're saying is there's one super value story worth talking about. Week, <isn't>
he doesn't ring me half a much.
If you're up there, Seamus, make sure you ring him. 30 seconds, the fiery story, they're out in 2 weeks.
Out again in 2 weeks against Fenner of Waterford. Yeah, just exciting times ahead now for Fieries, and I'll make sure to be at that game. And big crowd, I'd say. I think there's so much pride now in the parish after the weekend. What that brings to a parish is just huge. Like, flags littered across the parish from one end to the other. Back out in 2 weeks, there's some exciting times ahead for Fieries, and I just can't, really looking forward to what comes ahead.
Absolutely, and the wonderful Mick Allen, of course, was at the county final yesterday, supporting his Fieries and everybody else.
He was there Saturday night.
Congratulations. We'll take it a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, who do you think should be on the team of the championship? Send in your texts and views. We're getting a lot of them in. The boys are, I suppose, coordinating their efforts together, and Andrew will oversee them to make sure they're quite honest. Liam is copying John's homework, and he might get away with that one. Andrew has loads of homework. We're going to deal with four quick things before we talk about that before our next break. So if you're looking for the team and championship, we'll kick that off about 7:15 this evening. But a couple of more headlines in the news, I suppose, over the last couple of weeks that we said that we'd deal with. Adrian Splann and Stephen O'Brien have thrown in the towel. Great service down the years. It's hard to step away, but possibly makes sense, maybe, does it, Liam?
It does. I know Stephen O'Brien has a young family now, and I think he's working and living in Cork. No, so it's a massive commitment. We had Stephen John at under 20 level, and under 21 level at the time, and he was an outstanding servant for Kerry football. Mm-hmm. No, I know there's he reminds me, there was only a handful of players. I think Darren O'Sullivan, probably Pele, they'd be there. Stephen O'Brien, guys that could put the ball on the toe and take fellas on. No, he's got us, out of a lot of holes down through the years. No, so, always carry nothing. No, hope he stays playing away with Kilmare. No, but, fair play to Stephen. Like I said, always carry nothing. Adrian Splann, what a warrior. Bit of a surprise. No, I thought, I knew Stephen was humming and hawing with maybe the last, 2 years. But Adrian, I always thought there was a place for him. No, a warrior type kind of a player. No, like that. Again, we don't know what's happening off the field with their personal lives. But I want to wish the two of them the best of luck, because like I said, they owe the green and gold nothing.
Mm-hmm. Tom of the green and gold, and Tom was another colour that you're well familiar with, John Kennedy. Clare manager, Peter Kane, new manager.
Yeah, it's a bit of a surprise, I thought, Donald, you know, because I'd have a lot of context in Clare.
It came out of left field, to be fair, didn't it?
Yeah, I'd be onto the lads in Kilmurray breaking a lot, and, you know, they felt maybe some of the lads that would come from inside the county this time. Mm-hmm. But, a great choice, to be fair. Huge experience, look. Niall Allen winning manager, minor level, and, he's been very successful. He's going into Clare set up that they did quite well under Mark Fitzgerald, against the odds, and were lucky they didn't get promotion in the National League. The draw for the championship, they have the easier side of the draw, which mightn't be easy at the end of the day, but, you know, they've avoided Kerry and Cork.
So two South Kerry men in the Munster final next year, is it?
Jack and Peter Kane head to head in the Munster final. But look, from my time involved with club and county in Clare, really passionate people, great GA people. You know, a lot of young players, a big transition in the Clare senior football panel. A lot of players have retired. Quality players, the likes of Gary Brennan, now Enda Coughlin. You know, they're players you don't replace very easily. Mm. But they have a core of young fellas coming through. Peter, and we'll hear his management team, he's bringing that experience. And the one thing I found when I was in Clare, huge respect for Kerry footballers and Kerry people. You know, they feel that we know our football, whether we do or we don't. But you know, a great county, and we wish Peter and his management team well. And, you know, as we said, wouldn't it be nice to see Peter and Jack in the Munster final?
And what happened? The funny thing is, it's from Tommy Rooney on Twitter. He said it's the seventh Kerry man to manage Clare since 1994.
Has he included John Kennedy? Yeah, that's the main thing, yeah.
So there's a big Kerry connection there too. And I suppose he's going into a promising setup. There's a lot of young talent inside in Clare. Brian McNamara, great midfielder.
And I suppose when you're going into a young, is a high-profile manager the thing to bring in into a setup like that? No, I know you can look inside the county and would Clare have a high profile, whereas Peter will come with a bit of a profile with him, so it might give the younger guys that little bit of a...
And they've competed, they've done very well.
Yeah, they're not in a bad place.
Mark has done a very good job.
They're not a team that you would be thinking would be relegated out too. If anything, they're looking to step up, and they nearly got through that gate this year.
Very close.
For one dodgy referee.
Colin Collins did an exceptional job over a number of years, and he put the foundation there, and look, like Andrew said, of Brian McNamara, young Dermot Coughlin, like, you know, these guys. Aerogue won the county championship yesterday, beating Kilmurray Brechin. There'll be a few of those lads in, and you know there's 20 good footballers in every county. Yeah. You know,
and Peter Kane's going to find them. Another super value story. Because I'm waiting to his unashamedly super.
But only for me, I'd like to carry on from what Liam said about Stephen O'Brien and Adrian. Work with Stephen, quality fella. Great family, we wish him well. Great servant, and you'd love to see Stephen dropping the shoulder and taking on defences. Adrian, didn't know him personally, but coming from a family, you know, what have they done for the GA in the county? And, you know, a bit of a surprise to see him going, because, like Liam, felt he had a place, but his versatility might have come against him at times. But look, we wish both of them well. They did a lot for the Kerry jersey.
It's Charles Fitzsell's birthday today. I think happy birthday is an order for your great listener. Absolutely. Well, happy birthday, Charles. And certainly is a great listener, to be fair. Would Kilmiley and South Kerry have won the championship together in the same year, both green and gold? Good question from a Trinity listener. And we've nothing else on that page we can read out anyway. Brian Looney is still leading the way. Paul Ganey is closing the gap, though, a small bit on him. And Sean Shea and Dylan Ganey are dropping off the pace. And that, of course, is our poll on Twitter if you want to get on there. Just before I move on to the next thing, it's amazing you go to county championship and you're sitting beside people and you don't even know. But the late Con McCarthy came as a big shock to me. I obviously, it was something that I'd missed in the thing. But huge fond memories of Con McCarthy inside in Ossensack Park, up at the back with the sound and the equipment and the lights and the scoreboard and the whole lot. And he'd be sitting there in the corner and to be just nice and easy, and nothing was ever stressed or trouble or everything. Well organised man. Liam, of course, continuing on the whole lot as well. And I suppose one of the big memories was during COVID, when there was only, I don't know, 200 people allowed into the place and the whole lot, and we were stuck for babysitting. So poor Con decided he'd mind my young fella for the day. I think we were playing Offaly or something, and Dan was about, I don't know, six or something. He was showing him how Snapchat worked or something like that. So totally impressive stuff. But a really lovely man, a complete gent every time that I'd met him. Hadn't seen him, in a number of games. And, of course, sadly passed away as well. And our thoughts from the show to Liam and all the family as well. Fantastic man. And we shouldn't forget the likes of them as well for the other work that goes on, making the show go on in the day. The lights, the camera, the action, the microphones, a big thing. Quick comment here from Sean De Bruin. Wonderful achievement by Fieries in the Junior Premier against a very strong Ardfair team with such a pick from both codes. A most difficult competition to win with teams from Division 1, 2, 3 and 4. Any team aspiring to win this competition should look at the finals since 2016 replay, extra time in 27, which was heartbreaking loss for Fieries, extra time in
2018, 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24. This is how hard it is to win. While Fireys are thrilled to win the Junior Premier and represent Kerry in the long wait between the semi-finals for both Fireys and Ardfert, is a matter of concern for smaller clubs who may not have the facilities, including lights, to facilitate night training at this time of year, and not to mention asking students and others to travel long distances for prolonged period of time. Kerry County Board should consider allowing senior club champions represent Kerry, similar to intermediate and junior, and then you could complete the intermediate and junior before the county championship, and just think of the weight for Austin Snacks and Lone Rangers players. It goes back to this, that age-old thing, should we finish something before we start something else? And Andrew Offier made the point, of course, this year was a particular difficult year because Ballyduff, who were dual club, pushed everything out maybe a week and to accommodate that and the whole. I'm not saying Ballyduff hurt fault or anything before anybody jumps on my throat about it, but it goes back to the point, should we be trying to finish something before we start something new?
Yeah, I think, look, we're advocates of it here. We always said that the competition should be finished. It gives, number one, it gives the district side the chance to do something, because when there's always this little shadow hanging over it, it kind of upsets things. And yeah, and you could see maybe the last day of Fireys, the 8 week break and stuff like that, it can hamper teams, yeah. Alright, and what do you do with them in 8 weeks? How do you keep the interest? Like Sean made a very good point there. Some teams have no lights that you can play proper games, you're renting fields and all that sort of thing. So I would agree, and we have said it here a lot of times, that yeah, the competition should be finished. You have a clean canvas then for a county championship.
Yeah. The only thing that I'd say to that, on Sean's point, you're only pushing the 8 weeks down the back end of the order, because obviously the Munster Championship doesn't start anyway. So I mean, if you finish up in August, you still have those 8 weeks to get ready for Finner or whoever's coming out of the Waterford pitch. But obviously momentum is huge as well. I mean, you get out your group, you get your quarter final, you get your semi final, and there's an 8 week gap and lull and the whole lot, which can work both ways as well. You might have players injured and you're hoping to get them back in the whole lot. The district dramas, one time, whatever, 3 weeks ago, but we had so much fun, the whole lot. There's a lot of chat out there at the moment about county players, inter-county players playing, not playing, the whole lot, and there's fellas on Twitter doing polls and the whole lot. And I suppose we'll start the question above by saying, players don't have to do anything. I mean, they can play what they want. There's nobody putting, I suppose, a gun to their head and saying they have to. But there a lot of people, I suppose, upset in certain ways that kind of bigger named inter-county players not maybe showing up for their clubs in what they would perceive as the most important championship of all, the local one.
Yeah, Donal, I suppose when he came out first, we were kind of scratching our head. Was it a kind of a thing out of it? But to be fair, I don't think, you know, players... we wouldn't have done it in our day and age, that inter-county players should not have the right to decide I'm not playing in a competition as a whole. If the player doesn't want to play, fair enough, that's grand, that's up to the player. But I don't think you can make a decision for the whole squad to kind of downgrade a championship that is steeped in history. You know, I won a Donegal Cup medal, it's probably one of my treasured medals. You know, and
you won it on the field?
And I put it on the field, is right, yeah. You know, so, and it's a competition that we hold very dearly in East Kerry. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was involved with Brusna the year we got to knock to the North Kerry final. They would have taken your right hand off to win a North Kerry medal. You know, so, I thought it was a bad thing to come up with. You know, it didn't sit well with 99% of people.
Yeah.
You know, it's we're all clubmen. At the end of the day, we know the county footballer has been pulled and dragged, but that's happening with 50 years. Now, when we were there, John, there was a lot of football played. You actually played 2 weeks before we played with Kerry. I know the demands are probably that little bit higher now and everything like that, but. No, I thought it was just, it wasn't the right thing to come out with.
Yeah.
I do think if a player is tired, is injured, you sit down with your management, but don't come out and try to stop the whole blanket of a squad playing a competition that is held very highly with a lot of clubs.
Yeah, no, that said, I mean, there is a number of players playing with their club,
yeah.
And a number of players sitting out, and the whole lot. Can I talk about district champions really quickly? We want to go on the thing. The Donal Kelleher injury and all our thoughts with Donal Kelleher, I mean, a fantastic, fantastic, we were talking about players earlier, 37, the whole lot. Donal Kelleher is well on the other side of 37, won a county championship, of course, with Mid Kerry, huge Milltown Castlemaine man. Kieran Scanlon.
That's right, yeah.
Over in Curragh.
Yeah. I won't. The oldest player in Dunno Cup,
he's definitely putting his hands up. I won't tell
Brian Lodi could pass him out if he keeps going.
But Brian Lodi would want another 15 years to play. But that's the other extreme of it. I mean, players who want to.
Yeah,
the club means club matters. It's the whole tagline, we all belong, and the whole lot from the GA side of things. But these games go on week in, week out. South Kerry, the semi-finals, Lone Rangers knocked out by Kiel. And these are all huge, huge stories in those areas.
They're huge, Donal. And, you know, first of all, to reiterate what you said, wish Donal the best of luck. We had him involved. I was involved with him. He was underage. Fantastic footballer. And, you know, it's a horrible injury, and we wish him a speedy recovery. But I'd agree with Liam. And without going into detail, you know, out North Kerry, the North Kerry Championship is a huge competition, you know, and whenever it's played, there's, you know, whether it's 2 weeks before Christmas or whatever, you know, it catches the imagination of the county. And indeed, West Limerick and West Clare, they come across to see the North Kerry final. Great football. I would agree, one cap shouldn't fit all. If there are players that are carrying injuries or that are burnt out or whatever, that's fair enough. But I don't think it's right to say no county player will play a divisional championship. That's my opinion. Yeah. It's open to debate. But I think we're at a crossroads in the GAA, and we need to look at, you mentioned the late Con McCarthy, and we pass our condolences to the family. But that was the volunteer in the GAA.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep that. If we lose that, every club in the county, small, big, medium, it doesn't matter, they have a part to play. There's lads 40 years of age and 45 and 50 pulling on the jersey over their shoulder to represent the parish. That's huge. It cannot go from it. And I think that we have to look, and the county board will have to look at this. Are we prepared to put 90% of players and to change the system for them because of an elite group? I don't think it can happen.
No.
I don't think so. We respect every countryman. We were countrymen ourselves, and we're respective. I would never give out about a countryman, how he's playing, what's going on, because we respect them. You don't know what's going on in their lives. But the club player is keeping the GAA. That's where the GAA was formed, for the club player in every county. In every parish, Gary Sice, man of the match in for Corrifin yesterday, 46, is he?
46 years of age.
Incredible stuff, like. And that's what the GAA is about, like. So I think that it needs to be. And certainly, I don't think any committee can come out and say, we're changing A, B, C, or D. You have to negotiate with the district board. You have to sit down. And the district board competition, whenever it's played, it's an integral part of the GAA. And you know, I played with some of the greatest players of all times. You should listen to Bamba Nogi or Johnny Mulville or these, let's say, how many North Kerry championships have you? That's the question they'd ask you. That's how they rated them.
Well, Liam Brosnan has won anyway, so he's off.
Right, so Donal, and we get back to Crokes there again. Like Crokes, with the last number of years, you know, even the year they won the All-Ireland, they treated the O'Donoghue Cup, you know, they'll be on about, oh, we need to rest our players. They used it as a competition to build, to go on for their campaign. And I just think that it's a slippery road if we start going down that road.
Okay, well, we'll stop there at the road and we'll take a quick break. Now, just a quick result update here on the Super League basketball. Celesto 97, Team Flexham Clarendon 91 after overtime. Yeah, Clarendon pushed them all the way, but 97-91 to Celesto. Now, team of the championship. We're going to break it into, I suppose, 3 10-minute. We're going talk about the players who are in the mix first of all, take a break, and then we're going to name the team after that, and then take a break and name the player of the championship after that. So let's go through goalkeepers. Who's in the mix, Liam?
I suppose we have a couple of names out there. You have Gavin H. Curran from Dingle, who had a fantastic championship. Shane Murphy, obviously, from Crokes. Jack Enright from Field Rangers, who we spoke highly here one night, from his Pilty saving and all that. And
he saved two penalties in two different games.
That's
good goal.
And William Casey from Ratmore.
Yeah, absolutely. William had a good outing as well. Defenders.
Yeah.
A lot of defenders. Let's go through the whole lot of them that are there.
I suppose, look, you're talking about Evan Looney, Dylan Casey, Conor O'Sullivan, David Mulville, young lad from Shannon Rangers, showed up quite well. Tom O'Sullivan, Tom Lee O'Sullivan, Darragh O'Shea, Ken Mayer, Paul Murphy, Ratmore, Gavin White, Sean Murphy, Ratmore, Brian Looney, Michal Reedy, St. Kieran's. all these guys showed up very well in different games, and you know, the young and old, it showed that what the county championship means to them, and you know, playing at the highest level.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, midfielders, forwards, we kind of lump them all in together. There's a lot of them there. Who are the kind of big names of the midfield that you looked at?
Yeah, I suppose you're looking at Joe O'Connor from Brendan's, Sean O'Connell from St. Kieran's had a fantastic championship. From the Croke side, Charlie Keating and Mark O'Shea had good championships. Barry Dan O'Sullivan from Dingle, Kevin O'Sullivan as well. Cathal Ryan and Daryl Lyon as well. You can maybe fit Daryl Lyon in there, either in the wing forwards or the midfielders. Heading on to the forward line, Micheál Burns from Crokes, of course. Philip O'Connor from St. Kieran's had a brilliant championship at centre forward. Jack Savage as well for Brendan's. And you're looking at Gavin O'Shea, Luke Crowley, Matthew Flaherty from Dingle even. Evan Cronin, always just so consistent for Spa, a real leader for them. And Tomás Kennedy as well, what a young talent he is. And you could throw in one of the top scorers, second top scorer of the championship, Paul Gainey. Paul Murphy as well, who had a fantastic championship for Athmore. Centre forward, he just covered every blade of grass. And even Kieran Collins, he got on a lot of scoring for Athmore throughout the championship.
Yeah, a lot of them, of course. Sean O'Shea surely is there somewhere as well. Shane Ryan probably might have made the cut, and I think Kieran Kennedy as well.
Brian Crowley is another player there from Timpanogh.
Yeah,
you know, he was doing very well for Timpanogh, got injured.
And of course Timpanogh getting to their fifth quarter final in a row as well. Liam, looking at the players, just as a general overtake, a lot of them are the same names, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a few new names in there.
There is, yeah. There's a few encouraging names there. Signs there as well.
Yeah.
Like, you even look at the goalkeeper, Jack Enright. He's a young fella. No, that would have a good future. I'd have another fella there inside the backs as well, John Rice from Timpanogh.
Mm-hmm.
No, I thought he was very, very, very impressive. No, it was good to see Dylan Casey show a bit of what we can see Dylan can do as well. No, Tom Leo, outstanding.
Yeah, very good, yeah.
No, so yeah, there's a lot of footballers there that you would like to see go forward and give a chance in the green and gold. Now, I know some people will like the conversation we had. I'm sure he's not good enough, but we don't know if he's good enough until we look at him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the county championship is where you stand up and be counted, and all the guys we've mentioned there kind of held their hand up. No, so it's up to them then to drive on to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Liam Smith and Rob Stack are two other players showed up well in different games throughout the campaign, do you know?
I thought Brian Leonard as well.
Brian Leonard is right, yeah.
Well, you're all thinking now, are you?
The brain's venting now.
I have to think about him. You'll have two teams now at the moment. Right, good stuff. John Candy, quick question. How was the championship this year? Was it better than last year's?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Is that because the format was different?
Yeah, I think it's always good to change.
Every game meant something.
Meant something. There was no dead rubber, really.
Mm.
And you know, if you look at Dingle, they lost their first game. Well, they had to win after that then.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that
there's
no more chances. It's championship football then. I think it was good. And if you win, you're guaranteed another game at least anyway. Mm-hmm. And if you lose, you know, you have to win it. So there was a bit of a bite it.
Yeah.
The crowds early on weren't there, but for the semi-finals, quarter-finals, some of the quarter-final games aren't semi-final. And yesterday, in spite of bad conditions now, you know, it might put people off coming into Tralee, but there was a big crowd there. And a great atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. And the atmosphere was good, to be fair. Andrew, here's a tough question for you. Is it only old fogies like John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan going to matches?
No, I suppose.
You don't see that many people under the age of 30. Now, yesterday you did at the final, which was fantastic, but throughout the year, is it because they're players and they're actually playing as well, and, you know, that age group don't get a chance to kind of go watch the other team playing as such? Or
I think interest develops with age, like, even when I was younger, following Kerry, you know, you go to the games. But then as you go into secondary school and as you get a bit older, you start looking a bit more into the history of Kerry football and you gain a lot more interest then. Like, I know plenty of lads my own age now who all we think about is Kerry football, all we talk about is Kerry football, and that just expands then. You talk to a couple more fellas and he knows an awful lot about Kerry football, and that, I think, it grows with age. And I think the county championship this year was a big help for Kerry football in terms of, I think there were some exciting games, and East Kerry Dingle, I think, was the game that the county championship needed, And what a county final we had yesterday in Crokes and Dingle, two club teams. And that's going to just bring more and more interest for people just to see lads like Brian Looney and other lads winning eight county championship titles. So yeah, as I said, like, interest develops really as you get older, and I think there is, it might be a pocket of young supporters or young followers, but I think there's definitely such an interest. It's such an easy talking point too when you're talking to someone. That's it, that will always be there. Kerry football, if you know someone at work or anything, Kerry football comes up, you're able to talk to someone, find out.
You talk district championships now, or do you talk Kerry football? That'll really put you out. Come here, Liam, one highlight from the year gone by in the county championship. One magic moment or one lighthearted moment, or
just to put me on the spot now.
One good scuffle that you saw somewhere?
No, I think the highlight for me is, and look, I'd be above probably most of the time with John and we'd be looking down, but just watching, I enjoy watching the sidelines, you know, and I just watching the Croke sideline manage the game. You know, I think if people go and just spend a bit of time just watching what Pat O'Shea and his selectors, like I said last time to Donald, the game's happening and they're looking at something else. They're constantly ahead. And I think it's a great thing for young managers or young coaches to watch. You know, and I think that would be probably the highlight for me in the county championship.
John Kennedy?
I think, you know, like Liam said, we're at a lot of games together watching them, but I think the professionalism that's brought in with the management teams we've in place for all the teams
yeah.
But their preparation, when you see the warm-ups now, they know what they're doing. They've it done so many times before, you know, the backroom teams, like it's gone to an incredible level. Mm-hmm. And yesterday you two of the best management teams you could look for at club level, but you go to the semi-finals, you look at the Brendans, mm-hmm. look at the people involved there, look what Joe Costa did there with five or six clubs that hadn't played together before, yeah. Brought them in, that interest. So well done to the clubs and for the effort they're putting in, because you look at the Cairns, we spoke about them, you know, the team that they put together on the line, the experience they have, and I think it's reflected on the way the teams are playing, the preparation. You'll get out of something what you put into it, mm-hmm. and fair play to them, and it's a credit to the association for the work that's gone in.
Andrew, one standout moment?
I think the hype around the county championship this year was far more than previous years. Does that have to do with an all-club final, East Kerry and Mid-Kerry not being the final this year? Maybe. But at the same time, I think the new system, or the Christy Ring, as we call it,
system, yeah.
Yeah. Really helped the county championship this year. I think districts as well were going for it a lot more this year. They maybe got a bit of cop on last year. You know, there was just issues with fielding teams and all that. It was full of gun blazing this year in the county championship. It seemed like it meant an awful lot more for players to win it out this year, and Dr. Crokes for winning it out too, I suppose. Just the all-club final really did add to the occasion. There was an awful lot more talk about the county championship this year. Mm-hmm. I think we need that.
Absolutely, and I think maybe it was lost on other people with that kind of, when the game was over yesterday, Pat O'Shea and Stephen Brosnan with that little sneaky
that's
kind
right,
of
that was that, nice that, 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 that
nice, sneaky
yeah.
hug at the yeah. end of it. It was like a job done, thing complete, that was good. Gavin H. Corns save, I don't know how you missed that, guys. I don't know what county championship you missed. Surely that was the most important crucial role in the whole lot. It was a moment. We'll take a quick break. After the break we'll reveal the team.
From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now we're going to reveal the team of the championship for 2024. It's amazing how fast the years go around the place. It seems we're back here very, very quickly. Goalkeepers, we're talking Gavin H. Corn, William Casey, Jack Enright, Shane Murphy, Liam Brosnan. Who's the goalkeeper?
Do I get the honour of the goalkeeper? Well, I tell you, it was a hard decision between two, really. It was either between the two goalkeepers yesterday, Shane and Gavin. But we went with Shane. I think Shane's performance yesterday, the saves that he made at vital times, his kick-outs, they were pinpoint kick-outs. You know, when Crokes needed the ball in a Crokes hands, he was able to get the ball out. So he just about shades it over at Gavin H. Corn, who had a massive season. No, his saves against East Kerry probably one of the highlights of the whole thing. But yeah, Shane would be our number one.
Shane Murphy, Dr. Crokes in goal, and of course he was in goal for the team of the last 23 years last year, actually standing on the sideline, so he adds to that. Cornerback, John?
Cornerback, we went with Evan Looney yesterday as man of the match. I felt the Crokes, he had a great season. And he capped it off yesterday with a superb performance, and I suppose the goal was the talking point. But I think it's his link play, his defensive awareness, and a really good prospect, Liam.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about it. You had him with the MTU, and you know, a guy with a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm. There was a right debate between you for the next one. Poor old Andrew lost out in his split decision.
Yeah, mind you.
The big boys bullied you, did they?
No, I was bullied out of it, you know, bullied into a corner. But I was backing Conor Sullivan at Ingle. I thought he had a great championship and no nonsense. Great man marker when asked. He said he's the ship. His injury was a big loss yesterday. But we ended up with Dylan Casey, who is deserving as ever. Dylan Casey had a great championship for St. Brendan's. His semi final really sticks out to me. He had a great man marking performance in that semi final. Unlucky, maybe. I suppose they had their chances maybe to take it on the day, but as Dylan's involved with Kerry, what confidence he'll take from this county championship into Kerry next year, maybe to a starting role, will be huge. So yeah, Dylan Casey in our centre back.
Yeah, cash for your father and water with mother always helps as well, I'd imagine. Now, number four, cornerback. Was there ever going to be anybody other than the next person?
No big surprises. Probably one of the outstanding cornerbacks in the county, wearing the green and gold, or where it's red and white for Dingle. Coming back from his injury, had a huge emphasis for Dingle. No, heading towards the closing stages of the championship, but Tom Sullivan would be our number four.
Yeah, can't argue with that, I suppose. Number five, John.
Yeah, we went with the other Tom Leo Sullivan. I think particularly when Dingle were going through during the club championship and the county championship with the injuries and missing players, Tom Leo is one of the guys that really stood up. And he played some outstanding stuff, and he had another great game again yesterday. Underrated, I think, to be fair to him, and very consistent, and he's our number five.
Yeah, and of course he got that crucial goal as well in the semi-final, and yesterday the amount of ball that he gathered flying around the place like Superman, I suppose, at different stages. Number six, centre back. You're getting all the good ones. Full back, centre back.
Yeah, another one I disagreed with, but at the same time, he's in my team. At the same time, he's actually in my team, Gavin White. I had him in at five, but I had someone else at six. I'll give a mention too. I actually had a number six, but Gavin's also in my team as well. But I had Paul Murphy in, who I thought had a great championship for Rathmore.
A good call out too.
Just covered every blade of grass for him, and a superb performer. But a man who I also had in my team in the number five. Gavin White, so I won't discredit him, he's also in my team. Just so consistent for the Crokes and a real leader. When they were struggling yesterday, Gavin White came out and he scored 2 points, some brilliant points as well.
Massive points.
Yeah, when he needed them as well. So Gavin White in our number six, a real leader for Crokes, and what a championship he had.
Fair play to you, and you kept East Kerry happy with talking about Rathmore as well. Now, lads, you've been really out of this, aren't you? Well, why did you bring Andrew on? Right, over to the wing forward, possibly maybe the easiest pick of the week.
Exactly,
it?
The winning captain in 2010 for Dr. Crokes. I think was it his second appearance yesterday in the county championship.
Yeah,
not other than Brian Looney.
Yeah, I'll give you another stat that'll be nice rather than the 82nd, because everybody knows that now. But when he captained Crokes, that was their 7th win. They've doubled that now, and he was on the team, so they're 14 now.
14, yeah.
So they've been there for 7.
And made,
there for
and
eight,
made his debut in 2005.
Yes.
So work back there. That is playing county championship.
And lost a good few before he ever won one.
No, so.
Which is quite amazing, and still a huge talent. Right, John Kennedy, into the middle of the park. I'm going to let you pick both midfielders, because, you know, Andrew could throw something in the spanner there.
He doesn't agree with us at all.
They know nothing. It's tough by him.
No Glenn Fiscal in midfielder.
Wait, staff and putting the
these
fellas on it.
I suppose we mentioned this guy earlier on about a player that Jack O'Connell, the management team, might look at. That's Mark O'Shea, number 8 from Dr. Crokes. He's a great campaign.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday he was carrying a knock. He still kept going. He still won ball. He distributed. His work rate was incredible. He's a great athlete. And, you know, he stood out for us throughout the campaign. And indeed in the club championship as well. And the number 9 then is Barry Dan O'Sullivan. Andrew mentioned him earlier on, I think, as being a warrior, and probably an understatement really, because he got some severe punishment throughout this championship, but when Dingle needed him most, he was there. Even yesterday, he won ball independently in a crowded area around the middle of the field, and he drove on. When Dingle got, when Crokes got the goal, he was the one that responded and went up and kicked a great point. So 8-9, Mark O'Shea, Barry Dan O'Sullivan.
Right, so just to refill, in case you just joined us, we've picked the first nine, Shane Murphy in goal for Dr. Crokes, Evan Looney, Connor Beck, Dr. Crokes, Dylan Casey, St. Brendan's, gets the full-back line, Tom Sullivan is number four, number five is Tom Leo O'Sullivan, six, the centre-back is Gavin White, seven is Brian Looney, eight is Mark Shea, nine is Barry Dan O'Sullivan. Who is 10, Andrew?
Number 10, we all agreed on this, Micheál Burns, a reinvented forward this year for Dr. Crokes, and just seems to be enjoying his football so much more. Pat O'Shea, I suppose, has just done brilliant work with Micheál. They seem to have a great relationship. What a championship he's had all year, and yesterday in the final once again for Crokes, he plugged on those last three scores for them to really polish off the game and really finish it off. And just all year long in the club and county championship, since he's coming back from America, he's just been superb for them all year. And number 10, Micheál Burns.
Yeah, absolutely. The trip to America certainly paid off dividends when he got back. Centre forward, we're getting into a difficult situation now, because there are a lot of talented forwards out there over the course of the championship, and you can only pick one centre forward.
Yeah, but I think many will disagree with us with the performances that he had throughout the county championship. For me, he really led his team. You know, he was colossal, and we said it here for the couple of weekends that we were on about it. But our number 11 is going to Shawnee Shea from Kilmare. You know, the point kicking, you know, the goal scoring. He was catching ball in the middle of the field. He was putting it at the back of the net at the other end of the field all through the championship. And if we can get that form from Shawnee O'Shea going into next year, you know, it'll be a one big plus for Kerry.
Finished top scorer.
Yeah,
playing a lot less games than maybe some of the other guys at it as well. I mean, it goes to show you, and maybe there's that tinge of regret losing that quarterfinal as well.
It reminded me, Donald, you know, years ago, even I can remember just vaguely John's day, but the county player, when he went out and played, he stood head and shoulders above everybody else. When Shawnee went out with Kilmare, I know he's a good team around him, not taken away from Kilmare, but he did stand head and shoulders above everyone.
Yeah.
In the games that he played,
he delivered his promise on that, and of course top scorer as well. We might go through the top scorers over the last number of years as well, maybe before we finish up. Get a playing wing forward for Shawnee Shea.
There was a big debate about this one. Not so much the player we picked, but the quality of players that were there. You know, one player, the player we picked, hasn't got to the final. Philip O'Connor from St. Kieran's, really consistent. You know, people speak of Brian Looney, what he does for Crokes, but this guy's doing it for St. Kieran's
District,
and for Cordell. Very underrated player as well, but he was one of the reasons that Kieran's were so competitive. You know, laying ball in for the likes of Paul Welsh and Adam Barry and these guys.
Kick some vital scores.
Box-to-box player.
Yeah.
Vital scores. And, you know, people might be surprised, but, you know, I think richly deserved wing forward.
I think people that won't follow it will be surprised, but I think people that know their football won't be, because, I mean, they know the kind of warriors they are. And then again, I suppose Philip O'Connor, if you think about it, he's probably made up with the same kind of stuff as Brian Looney. He seems to be around forever as well, and probably in a less successful environment most of the time as well. Okay, so, God, we're running out of spaces. We've only got three left. Connor forward.
Dylan Gailey from Dingle. What a season he's had between Kerry and Dingle now. A huge prospect for Kerry over the next couple of years. We all expect to be a brilliant sophomore year for him with Kerry next year. He's just a player, he's never afraid to take on that shot. He just takes the leadership when his team needs it. He was the second top scorer from play in the championship, and his performances show that. What performances he had in the semi-final versus East Kerry. With the new rules, with the two-point arc, he would have been scoring for fun.
Yeah.
And he can benefit from that next year as well. Brilliant performance in the final yesterday. It would have been called the Dylan Gainey final had Dingle won yesterday. Yeah. Getting 5 points as well yesterday. More leadership. Had they won, I think he was a certainty for man of the match. Brilliant championship all year, Dylan Gainey.
Yeah, to be fair, I thought he was miles of anything on the field, but I suppose you need to end up on the winning side as well. Full forward, Liam.
Yeah, no big surprise. Look, this man, what he's done for the green and gold and for Dingle down through the years, this championship, he really stood out as well, you know, from the word go. You know, I think we even said after the first game that the freedom he had, you know, kicking scores. He gave an interview, and I think some people still talk about it, that it was refreshing because he came from an inter-county thing. That was the kind of the interview. He came from an inter-county thing. There was a bit of, I suppose, hold me back, whereas when he went into the club, he was able to go a bit more freer. But our number 14 is Paul Ganey.
Fair play. So 5 Dingle, 6 Crokes, 1 Brennan's, 1 Kemare, 1 St. Cairns. Sure, the nice scary person there, John, is there?
I don't think so.
We're going to deliver the bad news again this year.
Well, he might be scary with that. I suppose this man, look, number 15, David Shaw, he's one of the guys, another exciting prospect. Mm-hmm. He's after a great year.
He had a great championship.
Yeah, he had a great championship. And maybe, is it something to do with Pat O'Shea coming back in?
Yeah.
You know, things have changed in the Crokes this year, and this guy,
because he had a few injuries. Because he had a guy that was on the Kerry fringe panel.
He was, yeah. He got a few injuries, I think, but he played with a freedom this year. You know, even yesterday...
A real target man for Crokes.
A target man, yeah. Yesterday, I think, typified his change of attitude. Things were going badly earlier on for him, because Conor O'Sullivan was really playing really tight. He was getting nothing. He slipped a few times. He still ended up with 1-1. He drifted out the field, and he had a big influence in the game. And, you know, his overall performances, and yesterday, David Shaw, number 15.
Okay. Andrew, anybody that could put their hand up and say, God, I think they're wrong. I would have put their line there somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
I think he had a great year for his career.
I agree with you. I think he was one of the few bright sparks for his career this year.
What do you leave out, lads?
Luke Crowley.
that's
the beauty of voting. Like,
down. I can just read them out, sorry. I don't get to pick them.
You're picking a team, like. You could pick three different teams.
Shane Ryan.
There'll be people out there tonight.
Jack Savage.
And are they wrong? They're not. Everyone has their own.
We have no Tony Braston there.
Yeah.
No, but it was just, I think, you know, it's just the team we looked at were...
I'll talk about putting light on yourselves.
Paul Murphy had a great campaign.
Shane
Ryan.
But they're going to be that. I mean, look, you can only put 15 on the team. I mean, that's what it is. And I think, you know, it's nice to see David Shaw there, Philip O'Connor, Michal Burns, of course, after all, I suppose, his turbulence and back in again, Sean Shea, who can disagree with that. Very good midfield, Mark Shea, Barry Den. Brian Looney was always going to take 7. Gavin White, I think, reinvigorated himself. Dylan Casey, you know, he had a great championship, and I suppose you want your country players to stand up along the way. You had the 2 Tom O'Sullivans. I think Tom Leo is a fine shout, because for me, I mean, he was nearly up there with the player of the championship. He was one of these fellas that was kind of maybe outside that Kerry circle that, you know, that really was there. And Shane Murphy in goal, I don't know. Gavin Hitchcorn
was a close one, all right. I think our number one was probably the hardest decision.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But I'd gladly have any of the 2 of them on my team anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, we'll take a quick break, and after break, we'll call up the team again and we'll pick the player of the championship. Now, quickly, the team of the championship: Shane Murphy, Dr. Crokes in goal, Evan Looney, Dr. Crokes corner back. Number 3 was Dylan Casey, St. Brendan's. 4, Tom O'Sullivan Dingle. 5, Tom Leo O'Sullivan Dingle. 6, Gavin White, Dr. Crokes. 7, Brian Looney, Dr. Crokes. 8, Mark O'Shea, Dr. Crokes. 9, Barry Den O'Sullivan Dingle. 10 was Michal Burns, Dr. Crokes. 11 was Shawnee O'Shea, Kinmare. 12 was Philip O'Connor, St. Cairns. 13 was Dylan Ganey and Dingle. 14 was Paul Ganey Dingle, and 15 was David Shaw of Dr. Crokes. So we've done our poll in the studio, we coordinated the results, and we have a winner, Andrew.
Rory Lulley is the player of the championship for 2024. In his 19th season playing club championship, he is the player of the championship, which is astounding. What an athlete, what an engine, what a performer, week in, week out for Crokes in the club championship. There's a stat I can't really off the top of my head about how many games he's missed. I think you can count it on your hand the amount of games he's missed for Crokes. His 8th county championship title yesterday, as important as ever for Crokes as well. What he got through, especially in the semi-final, I think that cemented his spot in the team and as one of the nominees for the player championship, and richly deserved.
Mm-hmm. It only took him 19 seasons, really. I don't know. What are you waiting for, John?
Well, look, a superb athlete. We've said it several times about him. A superb athlete.
Yeah.
and in incredible condition, like, for a man of his age.
This is where we talk about inspiration, athletes and players, and keep yourself fit and keep yourself at the top of your game, never out of form. And if you think about it, in a different position at this age of his life, where, you know, he was a forward, he's a wing back, technically probably playing up all the time, reinventing himself, and this is what we're talking about, being a very good club player.
Seamless transition, more back, wing back, but a great move by Pat O'Shea and the management team as well, you know. And but for me, like, we were watching it, Liam, myself, yesterday again, okay, near the end of the match, in front of the stand, he took on, flicked the ball over the heads of the lads, went on again. Mm-hmm. That was incredible. You know, that piece of action alone, but it's the experience that he brings to it, the encouragement he gives to the lads around the place, and, you know, he's an incredible athlete, and you know, fair play at him, and, you know, I just, maybe other guys out there should look at the recipe and what he does, because, you know, the condition, mm-hmm. we've said it off the air, injury free, and playing at that level. It is fine to play at an age, but to play at that level and to be player of the year, you know, fair play at him.
Not in the county, though.
Yeah.
Is there something there?
Well, that's getting back to our conversation earlier. You know, when Brian probably was young, when he was younger, mm-hmm. he probably didn't fit into the county setup. But with Crokes, fits
no, but we'll talk about the overload and the extra work and the extra training, the whole lot. I mean, this is a guy who stayed free he's waltzing in at 37, 38
years
old.
You can see from the county players, I suppose. Look, they're going to be going in training very shortly, mm-hmm. and it's a heavy load, all right, on bodies. And if you're doing that for anything up to 7, 8, 9, 10 years, it is going to pay. It's going to hurt. And I suppose Brian is lucky that way, that he probably is our best and most decorated club footballer in Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think
Brian
too many Sheehan people. Himself and Brian would be there.
He's probably taking that over now at this stage. John Kennedy, 30 seconds. Crokes, Inter-Munster campaign, Castlehaven.
It's a tough opener. You look at what has happened around the country in the last couple of weeks.
Not a change.
Don't be surprised if Crokes go all the ways. Mm-hmm. That's a serious statement to make. It's a big test against Castlehaven. Kilmacud are gone, the Glen are gone, Nemo Rangers are gone, and Pat O'Shea is at the helm. I've no doubt, and we spoke about it off air, Pat O'Shea is already thinking of Castlehaven. While others are celebrating, that's how meticulous he is. And they have him at home in Loose Road, they get over that, they should win Munster, and after that...
Two games.
All the way to the end.
Not only that, our other team's Fieries.
Correct.
2 weeks' time, we're going to be looking forward to a good intermediate replay.
That's Saturday night, actually,
And Austin Stacks along Rangers then.
That's
another Saturday now, because
the ninth,
So it's going to... We still have another good week in the football ahead of us, and then we're down the Munster campaign. So, it's going to make an interesting road from here to Christmas now, Donald, for us.
And that'll bring up the Christmas party and the Christmas quiz.
Sure.
I suppose we couldn't bring Andrew to Christmas quiz. He'd out talking all, would you?
No, because the questions last year we got were 1960. Remember the man? 1950.
Remember him. In fairness, he was very biased towards the hurling.
He was.
Yes, McCarthy's in training already. Listen, guys, thanks very much. It was a fantastic season, fantastic year. Thanks for all the work that you've gone through. You do give us all a great bit of a laugh and great enjoyment, and you know, it is great to be out there as well. Talking to people who are actually listening to Terrace Talk and saying, oh, we love Liam, but John knows his stuff.
Thanks, Les.
Good stuff. And Andrew, a most welcome part of the gang as well, with different views and everything, which kind of balances up and it kind of keeps it fresh as well, which is fantastic. A big thank you this evening as well to Keane Doherty without the O, and Ivan Hurley without a no as well, obviously. And Mary, didn't Mary Conroy have a no? She had 1-0 Conroy, but she's not Mary O'Conroy. Mary Conroy is up next with Tog Sus, and there's a couple of O's in Tog Sus, isn't there? Absolutely. And listen, thanks very much for tuning in here on a bank holiday evening to listen to Terrace Talk. We really appreciate the amount of people that turn us on and listen to us and talk to us and chat away to us. And send in those comments as well. It's all part of the show. And we hope that you got a bit of enjoyment out of this evening's show. Those team will be up on social media very shortly with Ivan, and you can be voting and giving out and all you want. But it does take a lot to sit down here and pick the team. And we'll do it all again next week.